Right. Hey guys, welcome. It is Mean Green Nation Podcast, episode 23. I am your host, Adam, and I am here with Greg. Is it Gedeker?
Godeker.
Godeker. And the golden pipes of Justin Brummett. Justin, why don't you grace us with a hello?
So hello, everyone.
Yeah, look at that.
From the golden voice.
Yeah, golden voice over there. It's funny, like, I do another podcast, Deranged Penguin, and somebody wrote in, like, Brad, you have, like, the best voice ever. And so I like to give him a hard time about that.
That's funny. It's funny.
Yeah, so, hey, big week. This is, like, I call it hate week, but I don't know how much anybody really hates UTSA. I think a lot of the stuff on the message board is just kind of in jest. It's, like, tongue-in-cheek, because we all know that we don't really have a rival. I think more people really dislike SMU than anything else, any other team. But SMU doesn't really care, you know? Have you met an SMU guy that, like, cares about anything else besides their Beamer? No. They don't care about little old UNT up the road. So, you know, we went and had to find a new friend to pick on, I guess. And that's UTSA. And those people I know, and in some cases it's kind of me, because I help start CoolerChronicles.com, the UTSA blog. They get riled up pretty easily. And that has happened on the message board. Have you guys partaken in any of this UTSA trash talk?
No, I haven't partaken in any of it. I've seen some of it. I just jump on Go Mean Green every once in a while just to see some of the stuff and go to some of the links, but I haven't partaken in any of it.
I'm old school. I like to leave the talking left out on the field.
Yeah, I haven't really seen you guys like participate too much in there. Because I like talking mess. I think it's part of the fun. But I do think some people, and mostly it's like on Twitter I've seen, like on both sides, kind of take it a little too personally and like a little too extreme. I think it's fun. And I'm all for it. I like having a rival. I like being able to talk some mess to my friends. And I have a lot of friends at UTSA fans. All right, so I call this game the biggest game in UNT history in like 10 years, I guess. 10 years. And that's about as far back as I can recall. You know, I didn't grow up a UNT fan. You know, I don't know a whole lot of people that did. So I think I can be forgiven a little bit for not knowing the history past, you know, 2000.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Is it the biggest game in the last 10 years?
It's up there for me. I think that when you look at everything that's transpired this season, us winning games, that you have to look at, if we keep winning, every game just keeps on getting bigger. So yeah, I think it's pretty much up there, man.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is too. I think it's a huge game. Some people would say some of the earlier games this year, maybe Rice. I saw someone talking to you on Twitter about it earlier. But yeah, I think it's a huge game because you don't know how big it's going to be until you see how everything shaked out with the rest of the season and the potential to host a conference championship game if things fall the right way, and being 6-0 at home for only the second time ever. And there's not many colleges in the United States anywhere that can say that every single year or ever, really. So it's a really – as Zach Orr said this week that he was 0-6 his freshman year at home, and he could finish his career 6-0 this year. So I think it's a pretty big step.
Yeah, I think to me, and I think that's partly why I say this is the biggest game in history, because, you know, I went to school at a time when, you know, like they didn't win. It was like 5 wins in the previous regime and like, I don't know, it was like however many games. And it seemed like maybe they got one win, you know, and like everybody would show up for the first game of the year and then disappear as the team, you know, like regressively got horrible, you know what I mean? So to have a team in Denton that's like winning every week, you know, it's like a guaranteed show. That's amazing, and I can't imagine what it'd be like to be a student there. You know what I mean? I know, like, I'm super excited being down here in San Antonio, as it is. Like, but to be in Denton, to be like a part of that, to see. I mean, I went up there for the homecoming game, and you can kind of see it around. You know, it's like a little bit different feel there. That people like were a little bit more proud to be a North Texan. You know what I mean? To be a Mean Green Eagle, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think don't call them the Eagles anymore, man. It says it in the media guide. Don't call them the Eagles.
Well, don't call
us
the
North Texas
team,
State. Don't call us. But then we have the claw. I mean, the talons, and you know,
and then
the eagles everywhere. Scrappy's an eagle. I don't get it, man. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's cool. I think it's super hipster of us to have two names. Yeah, I mean, and I was totally cool. I was totally on board with having the albino as a mascot too.
By the way, the new Scrappy's terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen the new Scrappy. He's terrible.
What do you think of the new Scrappy, Greg?
He was a little bit scary at first. I mean, he's got too much going on. You know, he's just too flappy, and you know, I mean, I like the old one. He was tight. He looked fit. He looked like he could kick somebody's butt. You know, this new one, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. But back to the point about the students and everything. I think it's really cool what's going on. And I remember going to the Rice game was the first game I'd ever sat in the stands. And actually partaking in a game in the student section. And it was crazy, man. It was really cool. And then they come out for homecoming. I think there was more students at homecoming than there were at the Rice game. And it was really cool. And so I'm not ever sitting in the press box again. I just really enjoy being in the stand so much that that I'm going to go back out there every week.
Yeah, and the thing about, like, the whole hit 30,000 thing, which is great, you know, like, I like the support. Like, we're filling out, like, was it 72% of the capacity or something like that when you get 25,000?
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly fine. You know, for a program of our prestige level, I have no illusions about where we stand in the hierarchy of college football. And, you know, I think that's great. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to bring in name teams that are going to – we're not going to be – you know, College Game Day is not going to be there, like, at least anytime in the next 5 years unless something crazy happens. Like, maybe we beat UT next year. But, like, I think as it is – it's perfect. It's perfect where we are. Like, there's this whole, like, oh, we average more than you, says ECU, but, you know, that's in East Carolina where there's, like, a larger population anyway. And then, you know, like, San Antonio, they're like, oh, well, you know, we get more people to the domes. Like, well, you're in the downtown in a football-starved region, you know, in a major city. You know, if we were downtown Dallas and it was a little bit different, there was no SMU, no TCU, that kind of thing.
Or no Cowboys.
Cowboys, too, yeah. Like, I always try to tell people that in Dallas, in the Metroplex, there was that one day where there was like five teams at home playing, like five college football teams playing at home. So there's a lot to compete with, you know. And I think to draw 25,000, or this year, if we stay about on average, we're going to get like 22,000, which would break the record.
I think it's great that they're having so many people come out. The only reason I really want to get it so full is because I feel like Coach Mack really wants it to happen, and he puts so much effort into. He goes off. There's been a couple press conferences where he's just gone off about how he doesn't know what he has to do to get people to fill the stadium. And I think he wants it so bad, and it's something that can be a key to keeping him around here very longer if we continue to have some successful seasons, is by getting people to come out to the stadium. So that's the only thing that worries me and that wants me to fill it up.
First off, he's not going anywhere. Ain't nobody coming to take Coach Mack from us. He's too old. He's settled in, so that's good.
Think so?
But yeah, I think so. But with the attendance, you know, if you get 25,000 in there regularly, it's going to make a difference. You're not going to be able to hear. You're not going to be able to communicate out there. So, you know, we're going to continue to get people to come in if we continue to put on a show. And I think he wants it to fill up because he wants recruits to see that. He wants them to say, hey, look what we're doing at North Texas. Look at this beautiful stadium. Listen to this crowd. They could be cheering for you someday.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect attitude to have. You know, like, I mean, I have no problems with that at all. I like that he's, like, saying, why are you guys not out here? Why are you guys not filling up the stadium? You know, that kind of thing. I think that's what he needs to do. That's his role. And, you know, like, he has an effect by putting – a great product on the field. And it just started happening. Like, last season, you know, we're 4-8.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, now everybody's like, oh, dude, 6-0, you know? We have a chance to go 6-0, be in the conference. So then next year when the cycle comes around again and it's time to, you know, get some season tickets or, you know, all those people that heard about the great tailgating and the great times everybody had in North Texas, they're like, you know what? I want to dress up for the Halloween game. I want to do, you know, X, Y, Z. So, yeah, I think we're headed in the right direction. But before we talk about, like, next year and what this means for the program down the line and maybe whether or not Dan McCartney is going to get stole away, we got to play the game this week. Well, we don't. I'm going to be watching the game. Probably a little drunk. I guess, you know, we have Greg here. Greg does the Mean Green Breakdown. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Mean Green Breakdown and also give us a quick breakdown of the UTSA game.
Yeah, you know, it takes about 15 to 20 hours a week to put everything together between watching film, going through all the stats, lining everything out for the blog and putting it on there. So this week's going to be a little bit different, and I'm not going to give any ideas out of what you're going to see, but you're going to see something different this week. As far as UTSA goes, I've watched a little bit on them. I just started today, and you know, I'm watching them play Tulsa, and you know, they play tough. You know, like all their fans come onto our blog and say, you know, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to hit us. Their offense, they have a lot of motions, they have a lot of play action, they do a lot of shifting, just like we do, to try and gain certain advantages. And I think what you're going to see out of Sosa is a kid who, you know, he can make plays with his feet, he can make plays with his arm, but he fits their system, man, so well. One area where I think he could struggle against us is our defensive linemen, and especially our linebackers. You saw a lot of batted balls. The kid is only like 6 foot tall, and he has kind of a sidearm throwing motion, and you know, I can see Big Richard Abbey, I can see Akune coming in there on blitzes, Marcus Trice, you know, batting balls down. Maybe we get a tip and a pick six to get the crowd going, you know, something like that. But I'm interested to see if Glasgow, if he plays this week. I know there's been a lot of talk about him maybe not playing, maybe not going. You know, he's definitely a kid that, you know, would cause some issues for us. I have him charted for – he's had 52 successful runs on the year. And what I consider a successful run is 4 yards or more. And so that's basically, I think, out of like 93 carries. So half the time he's getting successful yards. So, I mean, I got a lot of information and to throw out to you guys. So, I mean, feel free to
keep going. Hold on. I got to let somebody in the door. But, yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, Justin, what do you think about UTSA? I mean, what do you think are their strengths?
I really don't know a whole lot. I haven't been able to see much about them. I know Sal's is a great quarterback, and he's been playing really, really well. So I know about that, but I'm really not familiar with their program all that much. But the running back, I can tell you that's a good stat that you gave there with that successful carries. That's a very good percentage to be getting 4 or more yards on a carry. That's really impressive.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, that's the thing about, like, Glasgow, that – I think he, you know, because I've watched him, obviously, for, like, the last 3 years. You know, he's had the tools, and he showed some flashes, but it seemed like at times that Evans Akacha was more of, like, the every-down back. It seemed like he was going to take the role away, even though he was, like, signed as a fullback. It's kind of ridiculous. And then even now, they run a lot of plays for Evans. I mean, he's good in the open field. He'll catch, like, a short pass and take it, you know, 40 yards, even though he's a big dude. But like, yeah, Glasgow's kind of finally like started coming into his own now, you know. But I think, what do you got on like with the other guy, the speedy guy, Jardavian Williams or something like that?
He had 13 successful runs. He had 7 successful, you know, catches on the year. There's one kid, Cam Jones. You know, he's obviously a big part of their offense. You know, they're going to run him as much as throw the ball to him. They like to get the ball out to him in quick screen situations, jet sweeps. I mean, he's pretty much, you know, the equivalent of Breland Chancellor for us.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, yeah.
You know, any way they can get him the ball, they're going to get him the ball. And, you know, they run a ton of wide receivers, a ton of running backs. You're going to see, you know, probably – I'd say almost 10 different people touched the ball on Saturday.
Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, like, I don't really understand why they do so much, like, east-west running. It seems to me like, you know, at first couple of years, they had that young line kind of shaky, you know. They couldn't get a whole lot of push. It seemed like it made sense to kind of try to trick you, you know, get some yardage that way. But, like, as they progress, it seems like they stayed with it. And I guess, you know, it's had some success and whatever, but I don't know. I feel like they're not going to be very successful doing that against North Texas. I mean,
no.
Our defense is amazing stopping the east-west run.
Yeah, and it's really because the discipline of the linebackers, Zach Orr, Will Wright, you know, those guys, they know their assignments and they stick to them. You know, where I think you can attack our defense is, you know, straight up the middle. I think we've given up some runs up the middle. And if they don't have Glasgow to be the pounder up the middle, then they might be in trouble.
Yeah. You got any thoughts on the game? What do you think about that, Justin?
I think the big key for the game is just going to be how our offense plays. I think our defense is going to hold the game close like they've done all year. I think everybody needs to just really key into how great our defense is and how well they've played. And I think that really came out a lot in the Rice game. And it's just overall, the whole season has been fantastic. And so I think that the defense is going to keep the game really close. The main thing is going to see is their defense isn't very good. And they've given up a lot of points. I think they might be last in the Conference USA in points per game given up. So we can just need to come out and play our game and not turn the ball over. If we don't turn the ball over, then I think it's going to be a win that should be fairly easy because of our defense. But I'm afraid of turning the ball over against this team, against a hungry team that wants to come in and start a rivalry, and that's what really scares me. It's kind of a trap game on senior day, but I think Zach Orr and those guys are going to come out and really play hard. There's so many seniors on this roster who are going to come out and play so hard for their last game. I think that's really going to equate to a win for us.
They're giving up 26.5 points per game in conference, which ranks about seventh.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I was going to say that I think I kind of compared this game to like the Rice game. I feel like they kind of have a similar offense. They like to run. They have a mobile quarterback. They can do some play action. And they can kind of beat us in the same way that Rice did beat us. Because, like, you know, Rice got, like, two down the middle, a couple deep passes. And they even gashed us for a couple. I mean, Charles Ross had 101 yards rushing. So I kind of feel it's like that. In that game, we kind of benefited from some turnovers, right? You know, the fumble recovery. And then, you know, was it two picks, right? And almost was the third.
I think Trice had both of them, yeah.
Yeah, Trice.
So, I don't know. I'm a little scared that way. And, like, I guess the North Texas, like, the old school Mean Green fan that's kind of scared of bad things happening and, you know, need my blanket and, you know, my mom tell me it's going to be okay, is that, like, I feel like the worst thing that can happen is, like, the team comes out and feel like they've already accomplished something. But the thing is, I think there have been multiple points along the way where they could have felt like that and they could have come out, like, you know, lax against UTEP, for one. You know, it was homecoming. You know, they already clinched bowl eligibility. It was on national TV. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's talking about North Texas. That would have been the perfect game to kind of just sit down and, like, allow UTEP to come in and do some shocking things. But I think they took care of business. How do you guys feel about the bye week, though? Is it going to take away some of the edge? Justin?
I think the bye week's good. I think it allows guys to get, this team's a little banged up right now. We lost a couple running backs already. So you're down to just Jimerson and Bird. I think it allows guys to refocus. I think the coaching staff does a really good job of that. So I think it allows them to refocus, take it easy for a few days, get some of their legs back, and really focus on coming out and winning this game and hitting eight and then moving on from that. But, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think bye weeks are a lot of times a good thing. I think, like, you look in the NFL and a guy like Andy Reid really does a good job of doing that. I don't think he's ever lost after a bye week. And so I think bye weeks are a very good thing for a team.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, we lost the Tulane game after a bye week, so that's a little bit concerning with this team. But they needed it, you know. They pretty much beat up on everybody, and they've, you know, beat up on themselves. So they needed the time to heal up, get refreshed, get refocused, you know, for this final stretch run.
Anything else, Gary? Are you scared of Sosa at all? I know you said that he's kind of short. I kind of feel like, I mean, he's experienced, you know, and I think we've kind of lucked out against some of the quarterbacks we've faced. Even, like, Tulane's quarterback situation was kind of whack. I think the best one was obviously the dude from Georgia, and I forget his name, Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
You know, I think, but I think mobile quarterbacks have hurt us. I think, Mac Leftwich, he got some nice runs, but he was a kid, you know, he's a freshman out there. I think we kind of confused him and, you know, forced him into some bad decisions. Eric Sosa gets, you know, like, falls into those same kind of traps. And I also think, you know, he's seasoned enough to know when to run, to know when to get the ball away. He's not going to get sacked eight times. I think he's, like, you know, he's obviously the best player. It's kind of cliche to say, yeah, you know, their best player is concerning, you know, but he is. I mean, that's kind of our weakness, is like some of the play action kind of stuff. Like Arkansas State last year, they did some of that to us. They kind of tore us up once everybody figured out that we couldn't stop the play action. You know, so I don't know.
It's hard to run play action if you can't run the ball.
This is true.
So,
although we're like super aggressive, like going for the ball, yeah, like on first movement, like everybody just like attacks, which is great, but still.
Yeah, I agree. Marcus Trice, see ball, get ball is what he reminds me of. So, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think their wide receivers are that great to where they're going to blow past our corners, you know. And I think our defensive line should be able to generate some pressure on Sosa pretty quick. And I don't think Skladany's going to sit there and let Sosa, you know, beat him. If he has to blitz, he'll send somebody.
Yeah. I think one of the amazing things has been that we haven't had to blitz, you know. Like, we've been able to sit back and kind of just play our base defense. Even with the corners, like, 10 yards back, I know a lot of people are saying, like, why are we playing so far back? Because we can, basically, you know. Like, the way you attack that to force the defense to play up is to, you know, throw the short stuff and let the guys make a play. But those guys haven't been able to make a play. Kenny Byers has been amazing. Walk-on guy, stepping out there, had 10 tackles against Rice. That was amazing. And, you know, Jamie Jones out there has been solid. You know, like, you can't run on the edge against them. They can make tackles, and you can't throw the quick stuff against them. That's been amazing, too.
Yeah, I feel like our corners are very good tacklers. Kenny Byers has impressed me with his open field tackling. He's made a lot of really good open field tackles on guys. That you see a lot of times, a guy like Zach Wilfield might let somebody go by him and go for a big gain or something like that. And James Jones has been impressive too. So I think if you keep things in front of you and you don't let guys get behind you, even if they're not as speedy as you might think they might be, if you don't let them get behind you and don't give up the big play, then you really set yourself up for being good. And even if they get in the red zone, we've seen what this team does in the red zone, and they're you know, top two in the whole nation in that.
I think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff from the UTSA defense, you know. I don't know how many weeks in a row we've seen a 4-2-5 defense, but I mean, it's good when you have practice against it. But they're not going to try and let us have big plays. They're going to sit back and let us complete stuff in front of them. You know, they're going to walk that safety up in the box. You know, everything we've seen beforehand with the 4-2-5 teams, you're going to see it straight out of UTSA again.
I think the biggest thing with attacking that is to make sure the running game really runs the ball well. And I think I have a little more confidence in Jimerson because he seems like he's been running the ball a lot better here late in the season. It looks like early in the year he might end up being a guy that dropped down the rotation so far that he didn't get back on the field because of all the fumble problems. But I think if him and Bird can run the ball well, then it opens everything else up, and then you get, you know, then you can win the game and score some points and get to the defense.
Let's see. I got some Twitter comments over here. Small Time Sports says, I think Byers will become a safety or even a linebacker in the future. I don't really see him as a linebacker, but I could see him as a safety.
Yeah, a little small for a linebacker.
Yeah. Somebody else says, student support has been phenomenal. Proud of the turnout. And I've also got a couple of other people to join the Mean Green Club. So, and yes, Scrappy scares me. Seriously, I have 3 kids. And it's...
New Scrappy's weird, man. I don't get it. I don't get why they had to change.
Go ahead, Greg. What were you saying?
I wasn't saying anything. But the new Scrappy. Yeah, I don't know why they changed it either. I guess because new uniforms, new helmets. Hey, let's change Scrappy.
You know what? It kind of matches the NCAA 14 version because like he's like naked.
I know.
That one. So weird. I don't know the story behind it. You know, I'm not privy to the Scrappy discussions and whatever. You know. Hall of the Mean Green Athletic Complex that, you know, that's taking place in. But I do know that from far away, well, I don't know what that was. From far away, yeah, I don't know, like something's going on over there. I think it's the microwave or something. Yeah, so from far away, he doesn't look bad. But up close, he does look like Eugene Levy. And I thought that was super hilarious. Because, yeah, he looks just like that.
One thing, we haven't talked since the uniforms came out. What did you guys think of those? Those were awesome. I loved them.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty sharp. I mean, for a team that's been, you know, and a fan base that's wanted to see something different, wanted to see something nice, I think we finally got it.
I really felt like Mac was too much of an old school guy to roll something like that out, but it was cool. When I talked to after the game, I talked to Darnell Smith, and he said that they didn't know, all the guys didn't know about it until they got into the locker room. They thought, he said he thought he was in the wrong locker room.
Huh. I don't know. Well, some of that was RV, right? Like, he didn't want to change the helmets. I know, like, even for that first game, we did the, you know, the old school one, the, you know, the kind of like throwback, even though it's not really a throwback to any specific era, just kind of a mashup.
Yeah, a mesh of, like, 15 different types of eras.
Yeah, he just, like, vaguely, you know, from the past kind of uniform. yeah, like, he didn't, he was like, no, we're sticking with North Texas. And I know, I think, from what everybody tells me, I don't know all these things, but they all say that it's RV that's kind of holding firm to keeping the North Texas on the side. I'm glad that he's cool with putting the Diving Eagle, because that thing is awesome. I kind of wish we'd hurry up and get like the white version of it so we can have our school colors, you know, green and white. We're not green and black. You know, I don't mind the black on the jersey or like something else, but I kind of like to see more of, you know, like it's on the field, you know, even have the black outline. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
What else have we missed? You know, because we haven't talked since like September. I was looking at the old one.
It's been a long time.
What do you guys think of Derek Thompson? I'm going to ask Greg first. I mean, you know, you're breaking down the film over there.
Man,
what did you think going into the season? Like, who were you kind of rooting for to win the position? And then, like, tell me what you thought of Derek this season.
I wanted Derek to win because I thought he was going to give us the best shot. You know, I went back. I looked at all the stats of the quarterbacks who had won Conference USA in the past 5 years, and they didn't put up outstanding stats. You know, it was the teams that had the great defense like ours did. So I didn't think that Derek had to put up, you know, huge numbers. He just needed to be solid. And that's pretty much what he's been for our program. He's been the quarterback that we've needed him to be this year. Has he made mistakes? Absolutely. But he's made big plays, and, you know, he's made big plays when it counts for us. So, you know, he has a little bit of a robotic throwing motion, and that kind of, you know, leads him to throw high sometimes, and he's not as accurate. But he's improved that. He has improved as a player. He's improved as a leader. And you got to love that if you're a Mean Green fan.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Justin.
I'm right with you, too. I didn't know what to think of the whole quarterback battle before the season started. You know, not naming him as captain was kind of a shot at him, in my opinion, to step up and take that job. I think everybody kind of in the back of their mind always, no matter who your quarterback is, thinks, oh, is there somebody better down there that, you know, can do something better? But he's been a solid quarterback, like you said, for this team. And when he ends it all, he's going to be one of the, you know, most productive quarterbacks in UNT history, no matter how it all ends up. And so I think he's won games, like you said. He's made plays. I look back at the La Tech game where he made a big play to Breland, and then might have been the opener against Idaho where he made a couple guys miss and then threw a deep pass to Breland. I mean, he goes back there. He makes plays. Now he makes the dumb throw every once in a while, or the pick six on screen passes. But that's what you get with a lot of guys. So I think he's been solid. He's been good for this program. Is he the best quarterback in the conference or in the world or anything like that? Not by any stretch of the means, but he's a solid guy that's been a leader and done what he had to do while he was here. And I think everybody's going to be really proud of what he's accomplished when it's all over with.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had some of the same complaints about that everybody did. You know, he was throwing high. Mm-hmm. When he was on, and he was amazing. And, you know, like, he was completing passes, he's, like, tough, he stands tall in the pocket, he makes the right read, et cetera, et cetera. But when he was terrible, he was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, sorry, that's my dogs running around in here now. He was terrible, you know, like, he was staring down receivers, you know, you knew where he was going to throw, and then he'd do that wind-up, like, here, I'm going to throw it. And, you know,
I think he's been
done less of that now.
I think he's been better, too. I mean, you look at the UTEP game. And he made a couple of those throws that kind of reminded you of what he had done in the past. I mean, he was trying to hit Carlos Harris a few times. Yeah, yeah, he was trying to hit Carlos Harris a few times. He finally connected with him on a really nice pass, but he overthrew him big time a couple of times. And so you see a little bit of that still, but I don't feel like he stares down guys as much anymore. He seems like he reads really well, and he's making the right throws this year a lot of times. It's just been the few that have been, you know, really, really bad that kind of still stick out at people. But for the most part, I think he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, where he gets himself into trouble is when he holds on to the ball. When he's 1-2-3 and the ball's out, man, it's accurate. It's right where it needs to be. But when he starts to sit back there and pat, he starts to fade back and then he throws off his back foot, you know? We need the confident guy.
Yeah. And I think some of that has to do with, like, the improvement of the receivers. I think Brett Vito was kind of saying, like, UNT didn't have anybody out there. But I think this basically the same set of receivers outside of Breland Chancellor. And even had him for a couple games, you know, last year, even that Troy game where he was pretty terrible. I think he's just more confident. I think having won the QB competition, I think that put some confidence in him. And having played well and got some games. And also, I mean, he's been able to play from good positions for the most part. You know, the defense is like, even the games where they were down by like 20 or something like that, the defense, you know, they kind of had it under control. And they were getting the ball back in good positions. Special teams have been awesome. You know, he hasn't had to do it himself. It's not like, well, the only way we're going to score is if, you know, Derek slices up the defense, you know what I mean? And Peyton Manning's his thing. You know, we haven't had to need it. So I agree. He's been perfect for this job.
I think that the receiving corps has been great. I mean, you look at guys, there's guys contributing all the way down. There's like six guys probably that I think that have been really good. I mean, you get through the core guys of Darnell and Breland and maybe Harrison, guys like that. You got Darius Terrell and Leonard Pleasant, guys like that, that have, Darvin Kidsey, who have stepped up and played pretty well this season in spot time. But I think the receiving corps has been great this year.
All right. Is Darnell Smith going to be out? Have you guys heard, or what do you think? What have you heard?
I think it's up in the air. I think it's one of those things where we're not going to know until you see him out there warming up in game time. Because, you know, like Coach Mack, he's not going to tell us. And I don't blame him. I mean, if I'm UTSA, I want to know if Darnell Smith's out there. I want to know if I have to prepare for him because he's one of Derek's most targeted people. You know, he's targeted Carlos Harris, Darnell Smith, and Breland Chancellor about 20% of the time each guy. Mm-hmm. So after you get with those guys, if they're not out there, you know, they got to prepare for somebody else.
Yeah, and he's filled that role that I forget the guy's name. A couple years ago, he was pretty much that guy. He's like a possession type guy. You know, like obviously Breland's gonna, you know, stretch the defense. Carlos Harris kinda is the same, he's in the same mold. He's small, he's kinda shifty. You get the ball him crossing the field and running and he can take off. But like Darnell Smith has been able to get down the field like on a dig or like an out or something like that, or even just comebacks and just stand there and catch the ball. And you need that, you know, I think it's been great.
You know, really Breland's been the big play guy, but I think Darnell's been the most productive and solid and consistent guy on the roster. I mean, you look at Breland, I think the Middle Tennessee game, he dropped two passes that ended up being picks that tipped off his hands, easy catches and stuff like that. So I think Darnell's been the most steady and productive guy on the whole receiving corps.
Don't sleep on Carlos Harris, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Carlos Harris is good too. I'm not taking anything away from him. I think the Darnell Smith story is a really cool one, though. I think, you know, being a guy that walked on and worked his way up to being what he is right now, I think it speaks a lot about his character and the way he plays. But I like Carlos Harris a lot, too, and I think the receiving corps is very good.
All right, so next year, just kind of quickly looking ahead, does Carlos Harris kind of, like, rise up and take basically the role that Breland Chancellor has right now?
I think so. I think they're grooming him for it because he's run the jet sweeps. He's run the end of rounds. He's speedy. He's probably not as fast, but yeah, I think he obviously is going to have his first shot at that. And then you can go down the list and look at guys like Darvin Kinsey and, you know, any of the other freshmen that might come in that we might recruit. We don't know who we might land. That might be that person.
Yeah. Right. A good question that was asked to me, asked of me by Jared from Cooler Chronicles. He asked, you know, who takes the reins next year after Derek Thompson, you know, rides off into the sunset, having taken his rightful place in the pantheon of UNT quarterbacks, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, so who takes the reins? Is it Brock? Is it Andy? Is it the freshman sensation? Who is it?
It's got to be Dejon Williams. I'm sold on him. I think he's the most accurate passer on the roster right now. If he had to step in and play a game, I think we'd still be able to win with him. I don't want to stir up any more trouble with the Derek Thompson thing. But, you know, I saw him play in high school. I saw the tape. and he's just smooth. He looks the part of a quarterback that Mike Canales wants in his system. He's going to be able to move. He's going to be able to run. But, dude, when he snaps that ball off and he throws it, it looks pretty. And it's going to look pretty next year, too.
I agree, and he has a really good arm. I think he's the guy. I think if you wanted Brock Berglund to be the guy, he would have stepped up and done it this year. I think they're not happy with what he's done. I mean, he's been in a couple stops. I don't think he's impressed anybody in the way that they've wanted him to. He's not stepped up and taken the job. I don't think it's going to be him. I don't really like – I think McNulty is probably a nice young man, but I don't really – think he deserves to be on a starter on a Division I football team for the most part.
It's kind of a funny joke. It's like a running thing. Like I always hear that. Like that kind of. It's like always phrased that way. Like and Andrew McNulty.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I love him. Yeah. You know.
I just haven't seen enough from him to that warrants him to be anywhere near the starting quarterback of this team. So I think DeJean has to be the guy. I think he's going to get this year. If the NCAA will let him redshirt, I think that would be big for the program as well, give him another year of eligibility. And so I think that that he's definitely going to be the guy that – I mean, Coach Mack didn't redshirt him going into the year and didn't call him out of being in this quarterback competition for a reason. That's because he impressed him. And another year under his belt is only going to help him.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was wondering how much of that was kind of like him playing politics or, I mean, kind of doing some motivation stuff for like Derek somebody.
I just don't know how much motivation is to Derek. I think if he would have said that it's the quarterback competition between three guys, the other two guys on the roster besides DeJean, I think that's enough. I don't think there was any reason to have to keep, you know, DeJean up there for besides the fact that he thought he was, you know, good enough to do it. And then they let him play in the Idaho game for a reason, I think, too. And so, and he looked great in that game, which is against Idaho, but it's Idaho's second, third team, which is even worse than regular Idaho. But, overall, I think that he's definitely got to be the guy that's in line. I think Coach Mack and Canales like him. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, another Twitter comment from Small Time Sports says, the best thing that happened to Derek was Canales fitting the offense to him. The game plans and play calls are perfect for him. I think that is true. I noticed that under like Riley Dodge, he let him run a little bit more. I know that was kind of Riley's strength there, and it wasn't so much like throwing the ball deep. I know Derek has a much better deep ball, but I mean, I was kind of wondering about that. Like towards last season, it seemed like we just say, you know what, we're just gonna go I formation. You know what I mean? Just turn around, hand the ball off, no matter what. You know, we're just not gonna shoot ourselves in the foot. And I don't know, was that like them not being happy with Derek, or was that, you know, just him not being happy with receivers, or what? But that was the case. Those were the plays that were called. And now you're seeing a lot more five wide. You see that inverted veer kind of thing, and Derek, you know, actually running the ball, you know, being a threat with his legs. He's not going to take it for 120 yards, but, you know, he's going to get 10, 15 here and there, and that's great. That's all you need.
I think they've had a little too much of that even sometimes of the Derek running the ball. Sometimes they have looks like a play call for him where he kind of – it's almost like quarterback draw from the shotgun that he runs. I think they run a little too much even. I don't know if that's just that or him taking off and doing it himself. But, I think they've done a great job of running a lot of different formations out there, running the pistol, five wide, four wide, different kind of formations that have let him get – like Greg was saying, just get the ball out of his hands quick and find an open guy instead of having to sit back there and drop back a long ways and think about it. So I think they've done a good job of doing that.
Yeah. All right, let's move on a little bit to less super sportsy kind of stuff, even though I like it a lot. Anything else stand out? I mean, we talked about future of North Texas, how much this game, you know, means basically. What happens? Worst case scenario, UNT loses, right? What happens then?
We go into Tulsa next week and we play football still. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to hurt for the seniors, obviously, but, you know, this group is focused, and I don't think that there'll be a letdown in the Tulsa game if they do somehow, you know, lose this game. I just feel like, you know, these guys, they're a team in every aspect of the word. You know, they bonded together, they're brothers, you know. They realize that, you know, they may lose out on a conference championship quest, but, you know, they still will have done something that no other team has really done in the past couple of years here. So I think it's something to build upon.
I think you hit it right on the head with the fact that they're a team and they're brothers, and they've really a lot of these guys, there's a lot of seniors on this roster who have been around for a long time. They've been through the losing for, never not winning a game at home for a whole season like Zach Warren. I think that they're just continuing to do what they have to do to make this a special season. I think worst case scenario is they lose one of these last two games. I don't think they lose both of them by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think they lose one of them, to be honest. But I think worst case scenario, they lose one of the last two and they're still in good shape. You still get to go to a bowl game. You still maybe play for the conference championship and make some really cool things happen here.
Yeah, I always say, in our division, in our place in this world, that we're not going to get these, looking at the BCS standings, we're kind of looking like trying to determine where we're going to play in the conference championship game. That really is the goal, winning conference championships is the realistic goal every year. You can do that. You can't control anything else. You can control that, And I think this team's, even though going to a bowl game will be amazing, that's all kind of icing on the cake. I think that winning all the games at home, instead a year where that's very, very possible, that is what they're going to hang their hat on. That's the thing they're going to tell their kids about. Our last season, we didn't lose at home, And that's going to be amazing. Did we lose you? Are you gone? I think it disappeared.
Maybe it was his bedtime already.
Oh, was that me? Was that me that messed up?
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. Right. I was wondering why I couldn't hear you. Y'all both went silent. I don't know what happened there.
All right. One of the amazing things, more stats about the defense. They haven't allowed a 40-yard play in the last six games. I think the last one was against Tulane or whatever. And that's passing and running. That was the thorn in their side. I think that's partly why Zach and Hilbert kind of got benched for James and Kenny, because they don't allow those big plays. Mm-hmm. What else we got?
I think they've done a much better job of doing that. I think Jones and Byers have been really, really impressive. I think they've done a really good job of not allowing big plays. I think the safeties have helped do that as well. But it was kind of crazy to see a team come in with their number one and number two guys both being replaced. I thought that was a really smart move, and it turned out to be maybe one of the best moves of the season. I don't know if they would be where they're at if they were still giving up the big plays they were given in the first couple games.
And the crazy thing about how well the defense has played is that the top three corners include a walk-on and a former running back.
I agree.
There's so much more room for improvement there, and it's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's good coaching is what it is.
Yeah. One thing that scares me about next year, though, is this defense. Losing the guys they're losing is what really – I don't know if that's the main thing you guys are worried about. I think the offense is still going to have a good running game, and I think DeJean can step up and be a good quarterback. But really what scares me is the defense and losing a guy like Zach Hoare and losing some of the defensive linemen, losing a guy like Trice. It just really worries me.
Yeah.
I think the offense will pick up the slack. I think the defense will suffer a little bit. As long as Sclidaney's coaching, I'm good with the linebackers. The defensive line, those guys have improved so much this year. That's where we're really going to get hit hard. Somebody's going to have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. The good thing is that we only have three, possibly four more games to play. And, that's all that matters. And we have those guys for this game. Maybe, barring injuries and whatnot. Is it going to rain? And how concerned are you guys about the rain and maybe the cold? And will that affect the game at all?
I'm not concerned about the rain or the cold from the game standpoint, but man, if it's going to be 40 degrees and rainy, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the game. I'm going to need a lot of beer. I think this team's played through. They had the rainy weather. I think the field does a really good job of irrigating and letting the water out and stuff. So I think that'll be cool. But I don't think it'll rain the whole time. I think it might rain some before the game, and I don't know if it'll rain the whole time. But it's going to be cold out there, no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to be very cold. I'm looking at all the weather reports because, that's part of what I have to do. And I think we're looking at rain early in the morning, like you said, and then it's going to be really cold. It's going to be in the 40s. The wind chill is going to be in the 30s. The wind's going to be a factor in the game because it's going to be blowing, 15 to 25 miles an hour. So, this game favors us because we're the physical ground and pound team, And all we have to do is really hit on maybe one or two of Derek's long passes over the top, and, you know, it's game over.
You know, one thing about cold weather, man, that bothers me, I remember back a long time ago when I played football, that, like, when you hit your hand on, like, a helmet in really cold weather, that was, like, one of the worst feelings in the whole world. I can't imagine it.
I bet the UTSA players are going to feel a lot of cold weather hurt on Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you what, we haven't talked in, like, I feel like it's been a long time since we've been on this, but I think that we have one of the hardest hitting teams in all the country. Laramie Lee in the first half of the season, I haven't seen it as much. I think he's been banged up a little bit, but that guy flew around and was killing people for the first few games of the season.
Yeah, he has, and I agree. Also, like, how cold has it been up there in Denton? Because, like, down here, it's been, like, in the 80s.
Dude, it's been, like, the 70s and 80s, like, the last, like, week.
It's been the cold front, the first wave of the cold front's going to come through on Friday, and then it's only going to get colder from there.
But it's been kind of warm. Don't you think it's been warm recently? It was, like, 80 the other day.
Oh, yeah, it was hot. You gotta
it
turn
was
the
really
AC.
Warm. Yeah, it was messed up, man. I don't like it. I think it's supposed to rain, like, most of the day on Thursday, and then it'll get cold on Friday. So I'm ready for it. I like the cold weather.
I think one of the things that's going to affect me is, like,
did I lose you guys again?
No, I mean, I can hear you, Justin.
Oh.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's going to affect me is that the orange lot's probably going to be closed, and so I'm going to have to tailgate out in Fouts, and that's not really ideal. I kind of want to mingle, and I don't really want to walk across a bridge, you know, like, beers in hand to do that. Where will you guys be taking in the game?
Are you asking?
Where we'll be watching the game? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and, like, are you gonna do any tailgating beforehand?
I don't know. I have a buddy that's out at the big green like bus thing. You know, it's out there. So I went out there last time with him a little bit, but I normally don't partake a lot in tailgating just because my wife's not real into it. So we normally get there about the time the game starts, about an hour before actually, and we go out in the stands and start meeting up with people and getting ready for the game. So that's probably what I'll do this time. Especially with the cold weather. She doesn't want to be out there for that, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Lord has blessed me with a wife that likes to tailgate, and so I can participate. And actually, like, yeah, so we will be setting up. I'm going to have a little flag out. I got a little flag kind of on cheap. It's going to say Mean Green Nation on it. It says MGN, but, you know, nice. That's me. So yeah,
I'll stop by.
Yeah, stop by and drink some of my free beer.
There you go.
Yeah, same for you, Greg. Where will you be taking in this game?
I will be just going straight to the stadium, section 207. That's where I'll sit. So if you want to stop by and say hello, we'll be sitting in there. But no tailgating this time or this year, really. Just didn't have the opportunity. You know, just moved back up here. So headed straight to the game, walk in, get there early. I like to watch the pregame warm-ups. I like to watch the players for their team, scout them out a little bit more. So
I like to watch Dejon Williams with the ball around and kind of just salivate about the possibilities of the future. I'm kidding.
Oh, man, next year's going to be so awesome. What was I going to say?
And they're not making.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're not making a new NCAA, so we can't use new Dejon.
Man,
there.
What's up with that? That's terrible. I'm actually a huge NCAA fan. We have an online dynasty that I play with some people, and I'm so disappointed at that. So disappointed.
I'm thinking maybe like game rosters, you know, they should make some big money off of that, because if they go out and, you know, make the rosters themselves of the new teams and new players, dude, you know, that's your only way to really get a new game.
Yeah, I'm getting the Xbox One on Friday, though, so I don't know if I'm going to play a lot of NCAA anymore for a while.
I got the PS4.
Did you?
I got it. Well, I'm going to get it. It's what I've chosen, you know, I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
What you call it? Yeah, I've just been busy. That's how you know you're kind of getting old, when, like, you put off that kind of stuff. You're like, well, you know, I'll just go in there and get it. You know, I got to work. I got to sleep. looking forward to sleep more than you do looking forward to playing NCAA. But, yeah, like, I think I had, like, the college basketball. You know, they discontinued that.
I still play College Hoops 2K8 because it's been gone for so long.
Yeah. Well, like, for a while, there was, like, an online community that would make, you know, yearly updates. But then they shut that down.
They all got tired of that.
I wonder if EA Sports is going to continue, like, hosting the servers for NCAA for, like,
EA Sports is all about the money so much that they don't care about that. They want to make money, so they don't want to spend money on some servers they're not making money on. They'll probably just drop the game.
I mean, I totally pay. I'd pay like $10 a month or something like that to, you know, keep those servers running to play it. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, online Dynasty is a big deal, man.
We shall see about that, though.
Yeah.
Have you guys how many conference championships have you won with North Texas on your NCAA Dynasty?
Quite a few. I haven't won a national championship, but I've won quite a few. With DeJean as my quarterback, too.
I won a national championship in year number 2.
Oh, so nice. You know what's really weird is I played on Heisman through the first season with the roster the way it is right now, and I went 9-3. And this was before the season started, and I was like, man, that would be kind of cool if we went 9-3. And now look at it. It's a possibility.
I only lost one game, and I only lost to Georgia on Heisman mode the first year. And I shouldn't have lost. Turnovers put me in.
I got destroyed by Georgia. And I don't remember what my other two losses were, but it was not good against Georgia.
Well, see, I started out because I didn't have a whole lot of time. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to coordinate. I'm going to be the offensive coordinator.
Uh-huh,
and, you know, I had to get Dan McCarney, fake Dan McCarney, to fire. You know,
Canales.
My Canales, yeah. So I kind of installed my Oregon kind of spread in there. And, you know, Brandon Byrd had like 872 yards rushing. And Jim had, you know, about the same thing. And, you know, we didn't win a lot because our defense was not as good as the real thing.
Yeah,
which I blame on fake John Scaldini. He's not as good as a real one. no titles for me yet, but I'm well on my way to winning a conference title this season. I haven't had much time to play. It's really terrible.
Yeah, I wish I had. Instead of basketball, I could make our basketball team better.
dude, I wish. I wish they would have had. They would have like still been making it when Tony Mitchell's here because
that
would have been great.
That would have been a lot of fun.
I'd have just been trolling people
with Tony Mitchell.
Yeah.
Did you guys see any of him play in the preseason and stuff?
I've seen some preseason stuff. I've subscribed to like Detroit's, you know, games, I guess, on my CBS Sports app. But he doesn't really play that often, so
he doesn't play much. Really. He doesn't play much at all. I don't know if he's played at all yet in the regular season.
Yeah, he got in the other night. I think he scored a few points, but
did he? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of him. You know, I'm gonna stick to our North Texas stuff. You know, I'm gonna watch our guys play because I think we can get better. I think we can improve. You know, I'm one of the few people that feel that way because
I'm right with you. Me and Adam talked about that a lot last year about the whole Tony Benford and this team and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm in their corner. I think it'll get better.
I think if you played basketball before and you were successful, you know, maybe in high school, maybe you played a little bit in college, I think you truly understand what's going on with the team. And I think a lot of our fans just don't. You know, they just see, you know, our guys looking pretty sorry out there, and you know, they just want to complain about something. They can't complain about football, and now they got to complain about basketball.
I find it really weird that they're rolling out a starting lineup that doesn't have Chris Jones and Jordan Williams in it. That's kind of different to see.
That shocked me as well.
Yeah.
The Chris Jones thing doesn't shock me because I'm not sold on him right now. I wouldn't even, you know, he wouldn't even touch the floor if I was coaching. Yeah. He's way too loose with the ball. There's way too many turnovers. And I mean, victory favors the team that makes the fewest mistakes, and that boy just makes way too many mistakes.
And really the opposite of that is Owsie Williams, and that's probably why he's the guy running the show right now, because that guy doesn't turn the ball over ever.
It's hard to argue with that. Like, I like Chris Jones because he has so much potential, but
he has the flash. He has the little flashes of really good. Same way with Jordan. Jordan, I mean, he was pretty good last year. I mean, but the thing is, he has those flashes that make you think, wow, this guy could be really, really good. And the thought of both of those guys, you know, somehow channeling it and making it all work would have been really cool. But
I think I had some of that first impression bias where, like, you know, he jumped out in that Texas Tech game, and he scored 31 points, and he was really amazing. And I keep expecting that, like, like hoping against hope, like, yeah, that's gonna be the guy every night.
Yeah.
But he really hasn't been. But that's for later. Like last season, I was looking forward to basketball season like around this time already. And I think I was looking back at some of the archives, and I had already talked a lot basketball. Now, I mean, I'm just like, this is football only. It's amazing being like so like in it. You know what I mean?
It really is. I'm confident this team is going to win the last two games and get to go to a conference championship. Now, how we play against ECU or who I think it's going to, you know, more than likely, I don't see any way that they don't end up being the other team. I don't know how we'll play against them because they're a really good team, but I think they're going to win out the regular season and they're going to play in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I think it was collegefootballpoll.com or something like that predicted a 9-3 record. And that was like the second one. I hadn't seen your prediction yet. Like when I did my little season preview and I went down and I was just going through the games, I picked 9-3 too. I think I swapped like Ohio and La Tech though, because I thought La Tech was going to be good.
I forgot what I said before the season started, but I could have swore that you said 9-3 and I said something. I might have said 8-4 or something, but I was thinking we were being a little bit generous with those. I didn't think it was really going to happen.
It was a little bit like preseason, you know. Yeah, like, you know, everything's rosy. Everybody. I can see a national title, right?
Yeah, I think we'll go 12-0. But
well, I mean, at the beginning of the year, you didn't think that Southern Miss was going to suck as bad or Louisiana Tech.
I did think they would.
Yeah,
suck
actually,
as bad. I didn't think La Tech was going to suck so bad. Or
I think
Tulsa,
Tulsa was a team that I thought might win the conference.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good team, I thought, and you know, same thing with La Tech. I didn't think those teams were going to be the way they were.
Yeah, Skip Holtz really came in there trying to, I don't know what the hell he's trying to do. I know there are a lot of young guys there, but that's kind
of
weird.
Speaking of Southern Miss, what's wrong with that program, man? That's just, I don't know how you recover from that. I mean, we North Texas had some bad years, but that's horrific, man. Really sad.
You know, I think the kid that they have at quarterback, you know, he may develop into something good. So I'm willing to give him a little bit of time. You know, you got to give the coach some time to do what he needs to do. So we'll just see what happens there. But yeah, I don't know how you go from winning 12 to not winning anything.
Not for two straight years.
Yeah, it's like a systemic thing. It's not really like, oh, young guys or something like that. It's a system.
It's all the way to the core.
Yeah.
Sad. But speaking of quarterbacks just left out, we didn't get to talk about this either, but was the UTEP quarterback seemed like that kid was just left out to dry the whole game, wasn't it?
I can't believe they started him.
He got killed in every sense of the way. And the only
reason to start a freshman quarterback, start him at home.
Yeah.
Like, at home against FIU, not against
the best defense in the conference.
Ridiculous.
That was just – that kid got shelled. I felt so bad. I mean, Sarge –
Cougar must hate that guy.
Sarge hit him so hard that he hurt himself. I mean, I was just – I felt bad for the kid, really.
Dude, yeah, that was great. All right, let's get some predictions before we wrap this up. I know it's already been, like, about an hour or so. We'll start with you, Greg.
You know, I think coming into this game, I felt really confident about our chances. I think UTSA is going to come in and push us a little bit. I think they're going to challenge us. They're going to make some plays on offense. They're going to slow us a little bit down on our own offense. But I think in the end, you know, Derek Thompson's going to hit on a couple big throws down the field, and 24-14 is my pick.
Justin?
That's a good thing. I kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's kind of close early in the game, but we kind of pull away and it ends up looking a lot worse than it actually was. So I'm going to go 38-17, and I think that it's probably pretty close, like maybe 21-17 at the half, and then I think the defense really locks down and shuts another team out for the second half again, and we take it away a little bit. But I think it's closer than it really ends up being. But I think that's just going to be what I'll go with.
I think a lot, like, our offense is not as good as our numbers show. Like, you know, we're averaging like 30 something points a game, whatever like that, like the most since like 94 or something crazy.
Yeah.
But a lot of that has been special teams and defense, putting us in good positions or even scoring themselves. I don't know how much that happens in this game. I don't think, like, UTSA is pretty poor on the road. I think this whole thing, they haven't been hit as hard as they're going to be hit this weekend. I firmly believe that. And I think that's going to kind of shock them a little bit. And so I think that's going to be the difference. But I do think they're a good team. I do think Stoves is a good quarterback. And I think they get about 17 points. I was going to say like 31-17.
Yeah, I think depending on the weather too, I mean, if it ends up for some reason raining into the game, which doesn't look like it's going to right now, and you add the cold – and I think the defense scores a touchdown in the game, and you know, it seems like they're, you know, blocking things left and right every week. It seems like at home, They blocked something, even the one that got called back against Middle Tennessee. But, you know, the special teams might get through there and get something. The defense might get something, strip a ball from a running back, something like that. So I think that's where they're going to get some points, too. I don't think it's all going to be on the offense.
I think Breland's going to have a couple opportunities. You know, if the wind's blowing as hard as it is, that punter is going to fly one out there pretty far. He's going to outkick his coverage, and, man, you just let him go to work in the open field.
And like Coach Mack said, this guy is fun to watch even whenever he catches the ball.
Yeah, he took one back against UTEP, but it just got called back.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was amazing.
It was a pretty clear block in the back on that one.
Yeah.
He,
no, you
know. He didn't need to do it.
You're supposed to forget those things. That was obvious, but it was still great seeing him. I think do it even though it didn't count. You know?
I think the coaching staff has really pushed the rivalry thing, too. I mean, I think they're really excited to have some in-state rivals that they want to really start something. They want to come out with a bang, too. So I think that's going to be a factor.
Yeah, well, speaking of, who do you consider the rival? I think it's all open there. And I think let me just kind of give my theory on rivals. You have to play somebody where it means something. Like Texas and OU, that means something because it kind of means something for the conference, you know? Like you can stop somebody from winning a title.
Yeah.
And I think a win here by UTSA would be so terrible that it would kind of immediately jump them up into like rival status. Obviously, I don't want that to happen. But I think this is where it matters, you know what I mean? Like this kind of thing.
I think
you need it to be in-state, you need to be regular kind of game, and you need to be somewhat on the same like level, I think, if you don't have like 100 years of history.
I think they're just beginning to see which one of these teams is going to come as a rival, but I think Rice could really be one with the way, I mean, they were having such a great season, they still are, and coming in, that was a big game, and then UTSA could as well. I don't know about UTEP. They seem like they're so far away to everybody. Don't they seem like they're like forever away?
The only thing holding Rice back, or like holding me back from caring about Rice, is that they're like SMU. You know that they're so small. They think they're better than everybody, and they're smarter than us. what do you think, Greg?
You know, I think the UTSA thing is a rivalry between the fans right now. It's not a rivalry between the players and. I don't think that's going to come yet because, you know, I don't think they're going to beat us. So, I look towards, like, Louisiana Tech could possibly be a rivalry. I know it's not in-state, but, you know, it's pretty damn close, you know, to being here. We don't have to travel far for them.
I think Tulsa could be something you look at, too, maybe even.
Well, they're leaving, though.
Yeah, they're leaving.
That's a good point.
You know, hey, if we keep winning, we might be leaving, too, you know?
You never know.
But,
I think this is the most enthusiastic podcast, I mean, Green Nation podcast that we've had.
I think because I can't believe, like I said, before the season when we did that one, I was optimistic, but I didn't think the season would really come out this way. And I think it really, the enthusiasm really comes from everything that all the fan base feels and the student feel and alumni feel. I think it's just a really cool time to be a Mean Green fan and to see what this whole football team and Coach McCarney and all those guys can really, you know, build on, because it's already going great. There's no telling us. I just want to see what this all ends up being in a couple of years, because if it goes in the direction it's going, there's no telling what could happen.
Totally. All right, so I'm going to do a little self-promotion now. Obviously, this is Mean Green Nation. You can go to meangreennation.com. Greg, your site is?
Meangreenbreakdown.com.
There you go. Justin, you know, I guess.
I'm on TV. You really can't see me unless we call some games. We call a few games a year when we have the chance, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I heard you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't get to watch it. I didn't get to listen to it. But everybody said, these guys are pretty good. They seem to know what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, me and another guy did the Middle Tennessee game. It was the last game we did, so that was fun.
Oh, fancy. Look at you.
You know, we were actually 2-0 in the game. We did the Idaho game, and we did the Middle Tennessee game, so that's kind of
fun. So why aren't you doing this game then?
Yeah, I know.
Well, the reason why...
Just call it to your section, wherever you're watching it. You know,
that's what we do. We just sit there in our section, and we're thinking about bringing a little table out, and we're going to put the headsets on, but we're not going to be plugged into anything, and people are going to be looking at us funny, and we're just going to broadcast from there. It sounds like a good time, but no, the networks pick up...
Quirky.
It's a good thing for the athletic department, because the networks pick up so many games that we really can't do anything but the ones that end up being not picked up. So we have about every basketball game as an opportunity.
It's so awesome being able to see like North Texas games like not on a terrible field.
Oh man, I know, it's really cool.
Now, we've had a few this year where it's the S, you know, standard definition. Yeah. Come on.
Well,
I think it's only going to get better.
I take standard definition, then, you know, feed that kind of cuts out, you know, and like having to pay $10 to, you know, Arkansas State. I don't like doing that.
And the other thing is, like, I don't know if you guys watched the La Tech game on TV. I'm sure you did. But the guy kept calling Jimerson the Jimmy Show, and it bothered me because he called him that on, like, the basic runs. Like, he ran for, like, a 2-yard gain at the middle, and he's like, the Jimmy Show up the middle for 2 yards. And I'm like, quit calling him the Jimmy Show.
He had a crutch, and he had to use his crutch. I know.
It was bothering me, man.
It's Randy Cross. He didn't know much about North Texas. He just jumped onto whatever he could, and it was
he just knew the Jimmy Show was what you could go with.
You can tell that, you know, the guys that are just reading the media handout, and they're just like, you know, going straight down the line, you know, reading the talking points there, and didn't do any like independent research.
Yeah, I can tell you that's one thing about us. We were prepared, man. We knew our Mean Green stuff.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cheating, you know. Like,
you know,
the team. You know,
we knew Middle Tennessee really well too, except when they decided to put a quarterback out there who wasn't their starting quarterback, and he was terrible the whole game. I don't really understand that, but that was a weird move.
See, I think we lucked out there. Logan Kilgore, you know, he could have maybe done some things, but
he was like 10 for 10 when he left the game, even, and they weren't moving the ball real great. No, but dude, that Grammar kid, Austin Grammar, couldn't throw anything. I mean, he ran for 100 yards, but that guy couldn't connect with anybody.
Hey, if coaches want to, you know, have brain farts against us, I'm all for it. Whatever helps us win.
Nothing like taking a guy out that has 31 career starts and putting a freshman in.
And he's had success against us too.
I know, dude. He's a good quarterback. I mean, he's not. You know, he reminds me a lot of Derek Thompson. In all honesty, that kid is exactly like Derek Thompson. In the way that he's been, you know, a 30-plus game starter at a school, yet it's still not, you know, there's not like a ton of confidence in him because he kind of has the games where he doesn't look good at all and the games where he looks good. So that guy reminds me a lot of him.
Speaking of guys that remind, I guess like everybody kind of, maybe it's like a Sunbelt. Like bad habit. Force of habit there. Conference USA quarterback level, I guess. Because Eric Sosa kind of reminds me of Derek Thompson, too. I was talking with Jared from Cooler Chronicles. And I was kind of telling him that, like, having watched Eric Sosa, he all of a sudden will be terrible on short passes. Like, he just can't complete one. He'll, like, throw it at their feet. It's weird. Like, so they can't do, like, some screens sometimes. And he'll throw terrible down the field, like, right to the safety kind of interceptions. And he has a fan base in that same kind of, like, what the hell, let's get the next guy in there kind of thing. You know, but obviously everybody kind of hates the starting quarterback a little bit, and you love the backup. But a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels there between Eric Sosa and Derek Thompson. I guess we'll figure out once and for all, right, who was the better quarterback in their lives this weekend. That's what they're playing for right now. I was gonna say something else, and we kind of got distracted. More self-promotion. Mean Green Nation on Twitter. What are you on Twitter, Greg?
It's just @MeanGreenBreakdown. So okay. I think it's MG_Breakdown.
Yes. Yeah. And then Justin, you are.
I don't know what's happening. That was fun, though.
Well, Justin's Twitter is @JustinBrumman if you want to do that. Again, I'm Mean Green Nation. That's where you can find a lot of tweets from that account. MeanGreenNation.com. Also, if you like funny podcasts, go to DerangedPenguin.com and listen to some more funny. That's every week. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap this up. Because I'm hungry and I'm looking at my food. It's like sitting here teasing me. And I know you guys have to get back to the ladies who love you and whatnot. So, like, yeah, thanks to everybody that listened live. And, like, Aaron Switzer, I guess I don't want to say your name on the thing, but why not? The people that tweeted at us and, you know, said some things on the Twitter during the live show. You can subscribe. It's on iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. I'll leave you alone now. For Justin, for Greg, I'm Adam. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.